Good evening.
Good evening.
How are you wonderful people tonight?
Great.
I have wonderful news for you. You, and myself included, are loved more than we will ever know. Now, isn't that exciting news?
Yes.
But I already knew that. You do. Well, but we'll hear it again, won't we? All right. There's no one here that doesn't know that we're teaching a metaphysical class. So I will start, as I always do, with spiritual mind treatment. When I use the word spiritual mind treatment, it's just a form of prayer. It's an organized form of prayer. It's an organized form of prayer. We are taking time out to know what this universe already knows about us. The problem that we have living here on this plane of action is that we have forgotten that we live in a benevolent universe, a universe that always wants to give us everything. And we forget that because we live in the world. And the world tells us that we can't have everything. And we've learned that since childhood. You can have this, but you can't have that. I am here to tell you that you can have everything. No one's there.
Andy.
Oh, Andy's there, but you'll have to sit here.
Or there's chairs there.
Got somebody to sit. All right, with that said, I'll do a spiritual mind treatment. I'll do this in the first person. And all those who are willing may take it for themselves in the first person. And this is what I know, believe, and accept for myself. I am truly one with the only power in the universe. And that power is a power for good. And I use that power. I use that power in my life to bring to me all the prosperity, all the abundance, and all the money I need. It is because I am connected to the only power in the universe that I am able to do this. And I give thanks that that is true, that that is so, and I let it be so, and so it is. Tonight we're going to do a little bit of review because we have new people. And what happens in metaphysics or any of these classes, people want to rush ahead, and they want more and more information. People are reading books constantly, which is, I'm not saying anything's wrong with that, but you have to always go back to the basics. And if you don't have the basics, it doesn't matter what you are reading, you will not understand it, and you will not be able to manifest or bring into your life what you want because you have skipped the important steps. Most books will not start at the beginning. They assume that you already know, and they start there. I often tell you the story about Napoleon Hill's book, Think and Grow Rich. If that book really worked, everyone would be rich, but a lot of people read it and are not able to become rich. And the reason behind that is because that starts out wrong. It never tells you that you have to be able to change your belief system. You can read all you want, and you can go up very high in your mind and think everything is hunky-dory. But if your belief system does not change, your life will not change. That's an impossibility. This is an inside job that we're doing here, and it starts with that. I have always finding little things. This I found, and it's dated October the 5th, 1984. So I've had it all these years, 21 years. I am given authority over my own thoughts. We are given authority over our thoughts, and this is the only authority we need. Thought, the exercise of our authority over our, though the exercise of our authority over our thoughts, we can shift ourselves out of any repressive situation or limiting condition. Our lives and affairs are affected by what we most often think and say. So when we rule our thoughts, we rule our world. One power to change our thinking is a wonderful heritage. That's R. I'm sorry, don't read too well. Because of my eyes. If we do not know our power, or knowing it, do not assert it, we are helpless, as though divine authority had not been given us. We have to remember that it's been given us. We have dominion over everything. We have dominion over our thoughts. We need to practice our authority over our own thinking. We bring our authority to its fulfillment, working through prayer. We can peacefully affirm, I believe that I have authority over thoughts of ill health, lack, limitation, thoughts of any kind. I exercise my authority and my life changes for the good. My life changes for the good. It's done with your thoughts. It's done with your beliefs. It's done with your viewpoints. It's done with your attitudes. Tonight I passed out the Optimist Creed. Learn that. Do read it every day. Become an optimist. Now, the reason why you want to become an optimist, and here again I often say, I do not teach positive thinking. Positive thinking is a byproduct of this teaching. You automatically have to start thinking positively. This Optimist Creed is a wonderful thing because words do something. Words structure thought. And you have to be structuring your thought all the time. When I said earlier that this is a benevolent universe we live in, that always wants to give us what we want, what we desire, it always wants to do that. And that is always already done. The problem is, we don't think that. And we must learn to think optimistically. We must learn to know at the very base of our being that this is a benevolent universe, that nothing can happen to us. Where's Wesley?
Right here.
Wesley, do you remember, fear not, little flock, for it gives the Father great pleasure to give you the kingdom?
I think so.
Yes, I think it's John 24. The reason why I always ask Wesley, he's a recovering Baptist. But remember that. Have no fear. It gives this universe, or this thing we call God, great pleasure to give you the kingdom. What is the kingdom? The kingdom is, number one, peace of mind. No more fear, no more worry. Peace of mind. Think of that. That's what you want to think about. All the books you read, you can read all these things. If you do not have peace of mind, you're not going to do it. You have to know perfectly well that when you ask for something from the universe, that you have it. The reason why many of us are not manifesting is we have never learned to receive. We have never learned to receive. I'm a great receiver. I love to receive things. And I'm always grateful for that. And I always say thank you. And what do I add to that?
More please.
Always more please. I was thinking about this idea of receiving, so I'm going to give you an affirmation that you can use. And the affirmation is, I am now ready, willing, and able to receive. I open myself to the abundance of the universe. You have to add that to all your treatment work, to all your affirmations. You're ready. You can say, I'm ready for my next step forward. Show me the way. But you have to ask, and you have to be ready for that. And the universe will back you up in that. I was talking to my cousin today. It was his 65th birthday. We were talking about things, and his son has gained 60 pounds. And I said to him, do you understand what happened here? He used to call his mother chubby. You see, the big ear, which I call the big ear in the sky, hears everything. It hears everything you say. So we want to say nice things, don't we? We want to say good things about ourselves. You know, everyone here wants money. Do you wake up every morning saying, money, money, money? Money is always coming to me. Money is freely circulating in my life. I always have a divine surplus. You have to say it all the time, and you have to say, and I'm ready to receive it. And then start looking. Where is it going to come from? Does everyone still go to the mailbox looking for checks and not bills? Don't look for bills. Look for checks. You know. Affirm checks. You're getting checks all the time in the mail, aren't you? You didn't at first, did you? You have to keep doing this stuff till it really works. But you have to be ready for it and willing. And you have to tell yourself, I can accept that now. You know, I love myself enough to accept the bounty of life. And the universe will not hold that back from me. Or this thing we call God will not hold that back from me. So when I say you have to change your belief systems, come in. When I say you have to change your belief systems, you have to start at the very beginning and start with the idea that what you have learned about this thing we call God, that most of it is twaddle. Absolute twaddle. Any time that somebody tells you they know God, run the other way. Absolutely, run the other way. You can only know God through yourself. And you have to give up the ideas, first of all, that this thing we call God acts like a human being. God does not act like a human being. Meaning, God does not get angry, God does not get upset, God does not hate, God is not jealous. God is pure love, pure intelligence, pure energy. These are the concepts you want to get working in your mind and in your system. Come in, please. Oh, we haven't seen you for a while. There's a chair right there. It's a high chair, so I'll be able to see. You have to start always with that premise. And this premise works. What I hear on television the other week was, when some rain was coming or something, they interviewed a man, and he said, well, it's in God's hands. That just drives me right up a wall. It's not in God's hands. It's in your hands. It's in my hands. It was in his hands. If you stand around and think that it's in God's hands, you're in serious trouble. You have to know that you are the cause under your own experience. And I always hate to go over the top here, but I'll just go over the top just a little and then we'll come back. You have to realize also that we, here on this plane of action, create the weather. You just have to accept that. Now, if you can't create your own weather, that's fine. Someday you'll be able to do that. But don't ever say it's because God wants to do something, you're saying. How many people say, you know, God hates trailer parks, that's why the tornado, the tornadoes go through them. Yeah. God hates nothing. See, that's the concept you want to get working in your system. God hates nothing. God absolutely loves me, regardless of what I do. Regardless of what I do. God never changes its mind about me. God always holds everyone in the highest of esteem. Because the Creator and the creation are one in the same thing. What's our little saying? All that I am is God. But I am not all that God is, because God is everything and God is everyone. Get this working in your system before you go on to the next book to find out something. You see what I'm saying? You have to have this. How many people are still doing the mental equivalent? Yes. Learn that up one side and down the other. You say, if I had this since 1984, that was by Unity, by the way. This is from Unity, Daily Word. Marvelous. If you're not reading anything, I would suggest read that every day. If you're not doing any other type of what I call mental work, do that. Do something every day. But learn to change your belief about what you've heard all your life about what this thing is that we call God. Because religion has not told you the truth. Religion has told you some of the truth, but it has not told you the whole truth. Does anyone know a church that tells you that you are absolutely loved, that you are the beloved in whom this universe is well pleased? Most churches start out with that, but then they want to add little things. Well, now you can't do that because God doesn't like that. God likes everything. God likes everything. We don't like it. Our minds don't like it. And you may think, well, if you believe that and do that and God likes everything, then you can just go ahead and be crazy and do all these things. But you can't. Because the more you get close to this power, the more you use this power, the more you see that you are the power. And you cannot misuse that power. You cannot misuse that power. So you have to start to love not only yourself, you have to start to love everything. Everything in your existence. When you love everything in your existence, that's all you see is beauty and love around you. And you have to start out again with that premise. What was the premise that I used, a couple years ago? I think Christine still does it. What do you do in the morning? Just another day.
Just another day
in paradise. You have to wake up in the morning and say, geez, just another day in paradise. I'm absolutely excited to be here. I'm absolutely excited to be alive. And I know what my day is going to be. It's going to be wonderful. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be happy in it. You change that to, this is the day that the law of my mind has made. I will rejoice and be happy in it. Anyone that's reading the Bible, anytime you see the word Lord, you change it to law, law of mind. And then you can read the Bible and understand it much better. The word Lord was used simply because in that day and age, that's what they called somebody, the Lord. Why do you think they think the King of Heaven? Because there were kings. That's the only reason that's done that way, because that's all they could think of at the time. And they were talking usually to ignorant individuals. The people were not educated, so they had to explain it as simply as they could. All the murals and frescoes and all that you saw in churches were advertisements. They were advertisements. People didn't have television. They didn't have any of that stuff. They couldn't read, but they could certainly see a half-nude body hanging on a cross and say, oh, isn't that horrible? I feel so bad. That's all that was. Change your mind about all that stuff. Change your mind about that. This man that we call Jesus did not come here to save the world or to clean up your sins. No. What Jesus came here to do was to teach love, and only love. And he was a very good metaphysician. How do we know that he was a very good metaphysician? Well, he could heal. And I won't take that away from him. I believe in everything that Jesus did, but very little that's been said about him. That's all made up. So he was a good metaphysician. He could heal. He could change water into wine. He could do that. He also said, I will be crucified. That's metaphysics, people. That's metaphysics. He said, I will be crucified, and he was crucified. How many people here use that? They're crucifying me. They're hurting me. They're doing this to me. They're doing that to me. Give it up, kids. Don't do that to yourself. People love to do that. Don't do it. You have to see yourself as the wonderful, marvelous, individualized expression of God that you are. So every morning when you get up and you say, I'm in paradise, then go on with it. Why are you in paradise? Because I deserve it. Because I'm worthy of it. And because I'm completely lovable. That's why I'm in paradise. Your mind, your thinking, creates your reality. Nothing outside of you creates anything. Nothing outside of you creates anything. What you see in front of you, you are creating. And what you are creating is an illusion. But it's got solid stuff to it because we all buy into it. We have what we call the collective consciousness. Or we have what we call race mind. Now, when I use the word race mind is the idea that you can't do something. Race mind is the idea that you get old and sick. That's all race mind. If this thing that we call God is so powerful, so mighty, so intelligent, why would there be disease? Disease occurs in the mind of man only. There is no disease in the mind of God. And we can move to that mind anytime we choose. But the world inundates us all the time with all the negativity. And we start to think that that is real. That is not real, people. The other night, the reason why I passed out Ernest Holmes' thing on for world peace, there's a supposedly grassroots movement now to end the war, which should be ended. But it will not be ended till you change your mind, till you see all the leaders in the world doing something wonderful. But we don't, because we believe there are dictators. We believe there are terrorists. What we believe, we have. Stop believing in all that stuff. And start seeing this world as the world that you want it to be. Bring it down to personal. If you're not getting what you want, if your money isn't coming to you, if the jobs aren't coming to you, sit down and tell yourself that you deserve it, that you're worthy, that you're lovable, and know without a doubt that the universe will give it to you. Without a doubt. Get rid of any negation in your thinking. And if you sit quietly and you say, I want such and such and such and such, and your mind says, yes, but, you have to get rid of all the buts. That's a negation. That's believing in the world. You cannot make a statement, all things are possible with God, and then say, I want this, but, you see, you can't put the but in there. The world puts the but in. The world tells you that you can't do something. When I was in the real estate business back in the 70s, when things were really bad, which I didn't know they were bad. I never knew things were bad. At that time, the interest rate was 18%. 18%. Everyone said to me, you'll never sell a thing, Dallas. No one will go for 18% interest. I said to them, well, I'm not selling interest rates. I'm selling a home. I'm not selling interest rates, I'm selling a home. I sold homes. How did you do that, Dallas, with that interest rate? I don't look at the interest rate. I don't concentrate on the interest rate. I knew that people wanted to live in a nice home. I sold the home. You have to sell the home. Who was the famous man who said, don't sell the steak, sell the sizzle? You sell the sizzle. You don't sell the steak. People will do it. You have to change your ideas. You have to change your mind. You have to change your thoughts. And you certainly have to change your belief system. People do all these wonderful affirmations. They do all these treatment works, but they do not work on their belief system. They still allow that belief system to say, oh, well, you know, my parents always did it this way. My parents did. So-and-so told me. A teacher once said I'd never get anywhere, and I guess she was right. Well, if a teacher ever told me that, I'd slug him in the face. You can't do that to yourself. So get rid of all those little voices that you hear all the time that's telling you you can't do something. Nothing is impossible for you. Nothing is impossible for you. Ernest Holmes says, learn to think the thoughts that you want to think. And learn to feel the feelings that you want to feel. And do not place precedence on principle. Principle, in this case, meaning God, meaning the universe. What we do is we say, well, it's never been done before. It's always been done this way. This is the way that it's done. That's the world talking to you, people. You can't place that on God. What does God do?
Makes all things new.
Thank you. God makes all things new. God doesn't say, well, I did that yesterday. I think I'll do it again today. You know, if God did that, don't you think God would be bored out of its mind? You know, and how many people keep doing the same things here and they're bored out of their minds? Stop doing it. Do something new. Try something new. It'll work for you. Just because so-and-so, you know. But we do that with our whole life. We've had this story before. Who was the man who ran the, I always say the 3-minute mile, but I don't know if that's right.
The four minute mile.
Roger, yeah, Roger.
And everyone said that couldn't be done, that couldn't be done. As soon as he did it, everyone started to do it. So why don't you do something and, you know, don't listen to those people. Don't listen to that. How many people now are getting frightened with the bird flu? See, now they're going to hammer that into your head. You'll get pin feathers.
All they want to do is sell the vaccine they don't have.
But they always mind the scarcity. You see, the world teaches scarcity. There can be no such thing as scarcity. I wanted to tell you also about the Ernest Holmes, the prayer for world peace. There is no war in the mind of God. There is no war in the mind of God. So when somebody stands up and says, well, we're doing this because God wants us to do it, I could, that, you know, or God's on my side. Well, that's the most arrogant thing I ever heard of. God's on my side. God's on everybody's side. God loves everybody, regardless. And that's what you have to understand about your own self. And then learn to love your own self. Love to learn the thoughts that come into your head. If you don't like them, ask them to leave. But meantime, you were the one who did that. You see, your thoughts and your emotions are like children. You brought them into the world, now do something with them. You brought them into the world. Thoughts always go someplace and do something. They always go someplace and do something. They usually go internally and do physical damage to you. I make this statement because it's true and it is a metaphysical teaching. And people love to skirt around this one. But the truth is, there is no physical causation for disease. There is no physical causation for disease. And they're learning this more and more, that everything is mental, that it's starting in your mind. You are very powerful people. When I had a church, before I was deflocked, I made that statement in church. There is no physical causation for disease. My phone rang. How dare you say something like that? One girl, and I'll never forget her name, was Doris, with two R's. I remember that. Two R's. When you have two R's in your name, you'll think, you know. Anyway, she said to me, how dare you say that? I have a friend. She's got arthritis, and her hands are all like that. And she's just, and you say that, 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 that. I said, what's her relationship with her mother and father? Oh, she hates them. Just absolutely hates them. What's her relationship on the job? Can't stand the job. The woman backed off. There is no physical causation for disease. And yes, we do see it. But there's no necessity for it. When we get something, we're getting it because of something else, some type of thinking. We're usually getting things to punish ourselves in some way. Stop punishing yourself for anything. Why do you want to stop punishing yourself?
Because to love yourself is the highest form of appreciation for God.
Yes. It's the highest form you can give God is to love yourself. And if you don't love yourself, you're not loving God. These are the things that you want to change in your thinking, if you're thinking differently. If you get something that comes up from childhood or from one of those Baptist churches you were in or any other church that you happen to be connected with. Think about it and see what you can do to change your inner life so that you can feel the connection with this power all the time, and so that you can use this power to manifest what you want in life. But the main thing is, learn to receive. I know people do affirmations, they're doing this, they're doing that, they're doing everything, and they're still not getting off square one because they have never learned how to open themselves to receive, to say, geez, I can do this. I deserve this. The universe wants to give it to me. The only way that you can prove this thing that we call God is to use it. You see? Remember, we make the statement, or I make the statement, God is mighty. But God's also useful. Use God. Use God. When we have such a power and we don't use it, and we complain all the time that things aren't going right for us, that the world is awful, then what's the sense of having a power? What's the sense of God, you're seeing? There's no sense to that. You have to be able to connect with the power. Not that you're disconnected with the power. You see, you're never disconnected with the power. That's an impossibility. But what we fail to do, we fail to recognize that. We fail to notice that. Because we, many of us, think that it's just a haphazard world, that we're just dropped in here, and damn, do the best you can. You know. And then we say, well, some people make it and some people don't. I mean, we have all these. Everyone has to make it. Everyone has to make it. That is what our finite mind cannot understand, because the world tells you that only 2% of the people can have all the money. That 2% of the people have the prosperity and 2% have the consciousness for that. You can gain that consciousness. It's abundance we're talking about. There's always enough money. There's always enough of everything. And you can say, well, look at Africa and this, that, and the other thing. There's all this stuff's going on. It's not because the world is not abundant. It's because we have a distribution problem. We have a distribution problem. That's the problem. It's not that we don't have abundance. And why sometimes do we have a distribution problem? Because I say, I have $10. And I'm going to keep that $10. I'll be damned if I'm giving it up. I have the food, I have the wheat, we have enough cheese and stored in mountains in this country to feed the world for the next 20 years. If you ever want free cheese, just ask the government, they'll give you free cheese. They have mountains of free cheese. Yeah, they do. They just have mountains of it. Yeah. Why do they have mountains of free cheese? It's to keep the prices up. Called the dairy lobby. But we have it. We have it. There is abundance. It's everywhere. And that's what you want to see all the time. When I drive the car, I do not see traffic jams. I see abundance. And I say to myself, isn't this wonderful? Look, everyone can afford a car. I think that's great. Look at all these cars every which way. Yeah, look around. Stand on the corner and just count how many cars go by and say, just, oh my God, look at the abundance here. You have to change your mind about things, and you have to see things differently. That's what it's all about. Changing your mind. Changing your thoughts, your attitudes, your viewpoints, your opinions, and your beliefs. And the beliefs are the one that usually the most difficult to rid yourself of. Why? Because it's been in you for so long, it's been spinning around in your mind for so long, that it has actually made a groove in your mind, and you cannot jump out of that groove. You must jump out of the groove. Say to that belief system, you are no longer serving me. You are not giving me what I want. I am replacing you with a bigger, better idea. And then replace it. And if it pops up again, knock it down. When I have thoughts that pop up that I can't get rid of, I think of the old gopher game at the carnival. And I just take the hammer out and I hit it. And I just call it the gopher game. I just get rid of him. Yeah. What's it called?
Whack-a-mole.
Oh, is that what it's called? I thought it was the gopher game. Well, whatever. But I remember used to hit them. Do that with your thoughts and so forth. They are thoughts. You can get rid of them. is that God calling?
I tried to put it on vibration. Oh.
Now, I just thought of something. That phone goes off, so I'll tell you this. When I was in Kansas at the university, they had a floral shop in the neighborhood. And they would display different arrangements. And this one arrangement was a wreath for a funeral. And it had a little plastic phone in it. And it said, Jesus called. True. Absolutely true.
And we believe you.
I think of that all the time. Jesus called. So right. So here again, you see, we see those different things, and some people believe that, you know, that there's a phone booth somewhere or what, a phone somewhere, and calling, come up here. Don't let your mind do that to you. You know, this thing that we call God is always and will always be beyond thoughts and words. Always beyond thoughts and words. And you can start to feel that and see that and know that and do it for yourself. God is impersonable. But you have to make God personal to yourself. You have to make this thing, the universe, this energy, this intelligence, you have to make it a friend. And you have to make it the best friend you've ever had. And you have to know that that friend will do anything for you and will give you anything you want. And then you open yourself to receiving that. How many people here do have friends, and the friend wants to give you something, and you say, oh no, I couldn't take that, that's too expensive, that, you know, oh no, I don't, whatever you do, don't do that to yourself. Take it and say to the person, thank you so much, I really appreciate this. And I expect one tomorrow. You know, because you're taking their good from them. You see, if somebody wants to give you something, take it, because it gives them great joy to give you that. It gives them great joy. So we go back to that. It gives this universe great joy to give you everything. It gives the universe joy. So take the stuff and know that you're worthy of that. And don't have difficulty anymore with manifesting things in your life. Open yourself to receive them. And every time you receive something, say thank you, more please, and build on that. Build on that. And concentrate on that instead of concentrating on what you don't have. Concentrate on what you have and watch it grow, 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 grow. It's all done with attention. How many people here grow plants and so forth? And if you're very good with the plant and love the plant and give it attention, doesn't it grow? Same thing with anything in your life. If you give it attention, it will grow. Children, you give them attention and they grow. You know, they have discovered children who don't get attention and don't get touched do not grow as fast as children who do. We have power, people. We have wonderful power. And we can use that power to bring into our lives what we want. And what most people don't know what they want, what they really want is peace of mind. You want to know that everything is all right with you and the universe and with God, with everything. Just peace of mind that this is a wonderful experience that you're going through. And it is a wonderful experience. And yes, you're going to see things along the way that look like problems to you. Just look at it and say, geez, that looks like a challenge. But you know, I have a very good friend who knows how to take care of that. Now, I might not know how to take care of that, but my friend certainly does. I'm going to ask my friend right now. And then you sit down and you say to the universe, take care of that for me. I don't know how to do it, but I know you do. And the universe will take care of it for you. Remember, what I say is that I am the Fun and Entertainment Committee. God is the Ways and Means. And I don't mess with the Ways and Means Committee, and the Ways and Means Committee doesn't mess with me. But everyone wants to go over to the Ways and Means Committee and say to this thing, I would like it done this way. Well, I don't think so. This may be why you're not manifesting something. This thing knows how to do it. Our minds could not comprehend all the ways to do something, and always the best way for all those concerned. And we may think that we want this, and we don't get that, but we get something much bigger, much better for us. Because God, regardless of how high we can think, and how we can think the very best for us, God can think bigger. God can think bigger. So you have to remember that in your life. So always go back to the basics. Always go back and know that you're connected to the universe, that the universe loves you more than your mind can understand or my mind can understand. So can you imagine if you walked around all day feeling totally loved? How wonderful that would be. And you see, all you have to do is start walking around being totally loved, and that will happen for you. You have to know that, because it's true. You are totally loved. I had one friend who was always, she was able to do that. She always knew that she was loved. And she'd walk into a room, you just knew right away. She knew she was loved. Everyone here is looking for love. Everyone here wants somebody to love them. Why don't you just realize you're already loved? You're already loved. So then you don't have to go looking around for that love. And if you're not looking around for that love's going to come to you. You see? Because what's the problem? Most people are looking for love in all the wrong places. All the wrong places. Love is right here, right with you. Open yourself to that. Know that. But you have to do it. Don't wait for me to tell you. I can tell you this up one side and down the other. But if it's just rolling over you and it just sounds, well, that sounds good. Boy, isn't that, that sounds wonderful. Boy, I'll come next Thursday and I'll feel good again. Well, I want you all to come next Thursday. But I want you to be able to do it for yourselves. I want your mind to tell you that you're wonderful. Your mind. Not me, not my mind. I want your mind When you wake up in the morning, I want your mind to say, I just love you. I just think you're great. And you're going to have a wonderful day today. That's what you want your mind to tell you. And you're the only one that can do that. I cannot think for you. I can give you wonderful ideas. I can give you food for thought. But you must take that and think for yourselves. And remember, anything that I say, you may change any way you want, and you never have to give me credit for it. Never go out of here and say, Dallas said. Go out of here and say, I say this. I do not need the credit. You must take it and change it in your own mind so it becomes yours. Because you're all individualized expressions of God, or individualized expressions of the one mind. You are totally the beloved in whom this universe is well pleased. And it's wonderful. And so are you, and so am I. And there ends the lesson. Thank you.
Thank you all for coming tonight. There's a sign-in sheet there, and there's a basket for donations for Dallas. And I hope you all, Dallas is also available for private sessions and hypnotherapy. And thank you all for coming. See you next Thursday.
And you look so fabulous. I just
Hi.
I'm going to the church.